Well, may the blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each and every one of you today. Today is a special day. It honors those who have helped raise us and take care of us, and we refer to it as Mother's Day, but I always like to say that oftentimes the gender has less to do with it than the caring or the assignment of mother as opposed to friend or aunt or supportive friend or neighbor. All those things, all those ideas of parenting all come into play when we appreciate those who have had an influence in our lives. And for those of you who are suffering today because of unhappy memories that are brought about because of a recognition where inability to be a mother or having a bad family situation, know that you are loved and that you are not alone, and our prayers go out for you as well. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Always. Amen. Let us pray. God of all glory, on this first day, you began creation, bringing light out of darkness. And on the first day, you began your new creation, raising Jesus Christ from the darkness of death. On this Lord's Day, grant us that we, the people you create by water and spirit, may be joined with all your works in praising you for your great glory through Jesus Christ. In union with the Holy Spirit, we praise you. Amen. Now let us join together in our prayer of confession and pardon. The grace of God overflows for us through Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. The proof of God's amazing love is this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And because we have faith in him, we dare to approach. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, in the glory of your holy name. Amen. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and I declare to you that in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And now as we prepare to open our hearts to the words of the Scripture, let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, as the Scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, that we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. The first reading I want to share with you today comes from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, would I have told you that? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do not know him that have not seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and the greater works than these will he do. Because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask me anything in my name, that I will do it. The second reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, for it stands in Scripture. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, and as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now let us pray for those in and out of the church, in and of this world and not of this world, who are in need. We start by, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, pray for the church in every place, that we may worship and serve faithfully, even in these difficult times. And that it is not just the building that makes us a community of faith and your family, but your presence among us when we gather. Pray for the leaders and the people in every land, that they may know your way and do your will, especially in these such difficult times where leadership is so badly needed, with authority in you shared through leaders who are truly servant leaders. For justice throughout the world, that there may be peace and plenty for all. Please be with those who are in need, whether it be housing, food, shelter, and please help those who are afraid to where they hoard and they take things away from other people, that everyone understand that your mercy and your teachings are that of grace and generosity and giving. For the earth that you have made, that it may flourish in beauty and show your glory. For all those who hunger and thirst, that may be filled with good things. And for those who are ill or close to death, that they may know your loving care. We receive these prayers, O God, in the tenderness of your mighty hand, and strengthen our hands to serve you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So today we celebrate again Mother's Day. And I ask you to join me again for prayer. Lord, may the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing unto you. Amen and amen. So I was thinking about my mother, who has gone to be with God about 12 years now. And there are all kinds of motherisms that are being shared today on social media. And I think it's good that that happens, but it's sad that it only happens oftentimes just once a year. But I think about how those things that mothers shared with their kids are so apropos today, given all the things we're dealing with. Things like, don't put that in your mouth because you don't know where it's been. Don't put your fingers in your nose and your ears. Cover your mouth when you cough. When's the last time you washed your hands? When's the last time you washed your hands with soap and warm water? Be careful where you go. Don't eat anything that you don't know who made it. don't take things from strangers. And most of all, share what you have with others so that they may have as well. So Mother's Day, as I recall, when we grew up in rural parts of Nebraska, were not that much different other than Dad would get us up and we'd fix a breakfast. And then Mom generously would clean up the mess that we would make. And for lunch or supper after church, we would usually have some, like a roast or a ham or something kind of neat, and Mom fixed it. And then supper, the same thing. And so even though we were recognizing Mom, she still continued to do the things. I thought about how when we went camping, it was supposed to be a time for everybody to relax and have fun. Mom was still there fixing meals, cleaning up things, helping with laundry, doing all those things. And I think that a lot of times moms get taken for granted until they're gone. Even as long as it's been, I still want to pick up the phone sometimes and call and tell Mom about something that happened, an experience in my life. And I hear my own kids talk about how badly they miss her and how much she meant to them. And I think about the parallels then of what we're dealing with now, that the church is Jesus' bride, that the church is a union of Christ and the church, an extension of the people. And how maybe we take for granted sometimes all the things that we had within Christ's church. And I would suggest to you that Christ's church is way much more than a building. It's way much more than many committees deciding different things about the church. It's way more important about all the things we call programs, which truly should be outreach and ministry for the Great Commission to go out and preach the gospel to the whole world. Very little do I find in Scripture anywhere that it talks about the need to put a building together and have a building committee and have all these various committees that have to meet before a decision can be made. And how oftentimes many use those positions in those committees for their own agenda instead of for what God had intended. And I think that this is a good time now to take reflection of what we've been doing, how we've been focusing. Everybody bemoans how if we just go back to the days of the 40s and 50s when everybody came to church. Well, truth be told, if you look to pre-World War II numbers, the church was in the period of decline. After World War II, it became socially mandated that amongst all the other contracts you had with society, that you would be involved with and attend a church. It was important for your standing in the community. It was important for your business. It was important that your children were seen worshiping in church. And by the 70s, that perception or that need fell by the wayside with a deafening thud. The process that had been used prior to that just wasn't working then, and it's not working now. I am amazed at the number of pastors I hear saying, oh, we've been doing these live streaming and we're getting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of new people who are listening to our podcast. And when we open our doors, they're all going to show up. Well, I'm sorry to tell you that for the most part, no, they will not. Because the idea of organized religion in the way that we describe it through buildings and committees and all the red tape that it takes to baptize someone or to join the church is something they're not interested in. For any number of reasons, they may have had a bad experience, they may have had issues growing up, or they just may not be interested. They are the second generation of people who've grown up essentially outside the confines of a church, as many people would define the church today. Let me suggest to you that we may be at the front of a new reformation. A reformation that says we need to shackle off those chains that are tying us down to old traditions, old rules, old mandates, and yes, even physical structures. There are ways that we can gather without all the ornate and fancy ways that we have developed our ways to worship, with multiple organs, with choirs, with orchestras, and with bands. And please understand, I'm not saying those are bad, but Jesus seemed to be very effective in his day with the word and spontaneous singing, usually of psalms, and people got together and worshiped God, and they were fulfilled of the Spirit, not sitting back and say, okay, now please entertain me. Fill me up with the Spirit of God, Pastor. That's your job. Well, no, it's not. Might I suggest to you that this is an opportunity where we have been live streaming, that even if you make the decision to get together for regular worship inside your church, you continue to live stream, and you continue to show the exciting events of the church, such as baptisms, the Lord's Supper, and show how people are so engaged in those activities that there are some good reasons to join together in fellowship with Christ's people, with God's people. Consider that in a new wave, a new age, where people are reluctant to gather socially, and this will continue. Everyone who seems to be doing the research says that this could be a year-long endeavor, even though things are loosened up and opened up. People, especially who are older, people with children, are going to be very reluctant to gather socially with a large number of people, or intimately with smaller numbers of people. So we have to get creative about how we'll continue to outreach, continue to be able to reach those who are hungry for God's word, those who are in need of a church family, those who are in need of Bible study, those who are in need of moral support, those in need who just want to know that there are people who are praying for them and that God will never leave them, no matter how discouraged, no matter how frustrating it may be, that there is always God present in our lives. I would encourage you then to reach out to others through the phone or through email or face-to-face through some sort of platform like Zoom or FaceTime or WebEx. And for those who don't have those resources, or who are maybe a little older, then use something that's very antiquated that we call a phone. Let them know that they are thought of, that we're talking to each other, we're sharing with one another. Our Bible studies can be done online. We can encourage others. When you Facebook, if you're doing Facebook Live, encourage your members to start a watch group individually with each of them that announces to all their friends that there's a worship service going on. Give everybody the chance that you can have the opportunity to connect and listen to God's word. Think of the unlimited resources that are available then to reach people who never otherwise would have been. I was talking to a pastor here the other day who told me that one of his members had reached out to someone who was a family member of theirs that lived far away and was having difficulties and really didn't have a church. And so this person started listening and watching their online services and really has become more engaged in prayer, more engaged in faith. Most likely that wouldn't have happened had we not had this opportunity to be more focused. As pastors, we now have the opportunity when we share with you through the word, whether it's audio like I'm doing today or whether it's video where you see our faces, that our outreach is there and it's more personal. Rather than speaking to a group of 250, 300 people or 50 people, we're speaking individually to each of you now. And so it becomes more personal. It becomes more of an opportunity to share with one another. And trust me when I tell you that the Spirit is with us, whether it be live and in person, or whether it's through social media, whether it's a live broadcast, or whether it's recording. The Spirit is always there. You just need only ask that the Spirit would join you during this time. So make a commitment this week. Think about all the momisms you can think of. And I think the one that probably sticks with me the most is that treat everybody as you would like to be treated. And then as my grandmother used to say, and I tell her my grandmother was the original church lady, is that let people see God shine through what you do, what you say, and how you smile. Amen. And now I want to share the Lord's Prayer with you. And the one I'm going to share with you is the most recent one that can actually be sung if you have the Glory to God hymnal on page 464. And it's a little different, but understand that I have found that young folks and especially smaller kids really like this version more. And for those of you who say, well, I grew up with the other one, or my mother used to read it to me, just listen along, because guess what? They still would. And as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from these times of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever are yours, now and forevermore. Amen. And as we go, I'll leave these words with you, that you are a light of Christ in all you do and all you say and all the actions that you give toward others to share love and peace and reassurance. The grace of Christ attend you, the love of God surround you, and the Holy Spirit keep you now and forevermore. Amen.